be reading from the Good News Translation. Jesus and his disciples came to the town of Capernaum, and on the next Sabbath, Jesus went to the synagogue and began to teach. The people who heard him were amazed at the way he taught, for he wasn't like the teachers of the law. Instead, he taught with authority. Just then, a man with an evil spirit came into the synagogue and screamed, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Are you here to destroy us? I know who you are. You are God's holy messenger." Jesus ordered the spirit, "Be quiet and come out of the man." The evil spirit shook the man hard, gave a loud scream, and came out of him. The people were all so amazed that they started saying to one another, "What is this? Is it some kind of new teaching? This man has authority to give orders to the evil spirits, and they obey him." And so the news about Jesus spread quickly everywhere in the province of Galilee.
Can you hear me? All right, everybody can hear me. Yeah, I asked Kathy to be my assistant, so I'm gonna lay my blanket out here so everyone can see. And I don't know if you guys remember physics class when you were like sixth grade or so in grade school, and you did all these neat things like took an egg and dropped it from the building, and you only had one piece of construction paper to keep it from breaking, you know, those kind of things. I think Gary's familiar with those, probably. I've got this weight. What do you think that weighs?
3 pounds, maybe?
3 pounds, okay. What do you think that weighs?
Maybe quarter of an ounce.
Quarter of an ounce? Well, okay. I was thinking maybe, yeah, 2 or 3 ounces, probably. I don't know. It's just a little disc for grinding, and this is a pulley that's for one of my mowers, but... It's going to do a little demonstration. Now, which do you think will hit the ground first? This one that's heavier. What do you guys think? The heavier one's going to hit the ground first? That was pretty close to the same, wasn't it? You want me to try it again? Let me put it in the other hand. Since this hand is kind of, yeah, I had my shoulder surgery done. We'll go a little higher. David called it right, and I know Gary knew, but anyway. And I also know that the distinguished gentleman on Zoom there knows as well what would happen. Let me take that off. Let me get this turned the other way. For centuries, people believed that Aristotle was right when he said that the object, the heavier an object, the faster it would fall to the earth. And we did that little, I did that little demonstration just to prove that gravity affects everything the same here on earth. And if you drop something, it's going to reach the ground the same if it has the same mass. Now, I dropped a feather and that weight, the weight definitely would have hit the ground quicker because it affects the air differently, and the air buoys it up when it drops. Of course, Aristotle was regarded as the greatest thinker of all time, and surely he couldn't be wrong, people thought, when he said this. Of course, anyone, of course, could have taken two objects, one heavy and one light, and dropped them from a height just to test his theory to see which one landed first. But common sense makes us think that the heavier one would fall to the earth quicker. I mean, you would think that would happen. No one until nearly 2,000 years after his death, Aristotle's death, really tried that. Legend has it that in 1589, Galileo summoned learned professors to the base of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And then he went to the top and pushed off a 10-pound weight and a 1-pound weight. And you know what happened? Both of them hit the ground at the same time. The power of belief was so strong, however, the professors denied their eyesight. And they continued to say, our Aristotle was right, that the heavier the object, the faster it would fall. Even with the authority of obvious, visible proof, the professors still didn't believe. Problem here is obvious. Most people are going to believe what they have always believed, regardless of the facts. And I myself, even though I remembered those things from sixth grade science class, it still seemed to me as if that weight should fall on the earth faster. Something different occurred in the life of Jesus, something persuasive. Mark records that when Jesus came to Capernaum on the Sabbath day and entered the synagogue and taught, the crowds were astounded. Why? They were astounded. And why? Because he didn't teach as the scribes taught. He taught as one having authority. So what was it that convinced them? What did they hear and see in the life of Christ that made him stand above all the other teachers? Why were they so drawn to him? Well, for one thing, his teaching was new. It was new because Jesus moved from the past tense to the present. He spoke in the present. I believe it was in the spring of 1975, and I think that's right. I was trying to research when my parents actually did go to the Holy Lands, but I think that's when it was, the spring of 1975, because my mother was diagnosed with cancer not long after that, uterine cancer. So it was just almost immediately after they got back from their trip to the Holy Lands. But there were others from this church that went in that group, and Irvin Stern, the pastor at that time, led the group. And there were people like Rosalie Huckabee and the Bryants. I can't remember who else went. But one of the places they visited was the ancient ruins of the city, Capernaum, the fishing town that Jesus made his headquarters while he was in Galilee. Perhaps one of the main reasons that he made this his new hometown was that it was Peter's hometown. And what is remarkable is that my parents and the group were still able to see the erect walls of a small first century home. This home has been identified since the time of Constantine as Peter's house. And 100 feet from the door of Peter's home are the remains of the synagogue where Jesus taught. Jesus said, "Blessed are those that do not see yet still believe." But my father said that standing there with the breeze of the Sea of Galilee blowing through the ruins, you could almost picture Jesus and Peter walking through that synagogue on the Sabbath, just across the street, and attending services. It made the scriptures come alive to him, to my father. Now, this was Peter's home synagogue. And he probably had something to do with Jesus being asked to preach. It's a place where Jesus taught regularly. For a period of time, he was there every week, I would suppose, in the synagogue, teaching as a visiting rabbi. And as he began to teach, Mark tells us the people were amazed. What amazed them is that when Jesus stood up to teach, he didn't say, "Moses has taught us," or "Rabbi so-and-so has said." Instead, he said, "I say to you." All the other rabbis told the people to offer a sacrifice at the temple for the remission of sins. But Jesus said to people directly, "Your sins are forgiven." The rabbis all encouraged the people to believe in God. Along comes Jesus and tells them, "Believe in God, also believe in me." The difference was amazing. All the other rabbis got their authority from quoting scriptures and talking about the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They referenced the rabbis before them to support their positions. But Jesus here is something new. He was the authority. He was the door, the vine, the gate, the good shepherd, the light of the world. His teachings echoed with something new, something astonishing, something amazing. God was no longer in the past. God was in the present in the life of Jesus in Nazareth. And that brings up the second reason why people were so drawn to him. He taught with authority. It was obvious to those in the synagogue that day that Jesus was a teacher of a different order because he didn't quote the authorities of the past. He was actually the authority himself. That was their first clue that something new was happening. And then something happening right in their midst that stunned them, made them sit up and take notice. He backed up what he taught with action. It may have been on Jesus' very first visit to the synagogue. As we read the scripture, it seems as if that was the case. In the middle of his sermon, a man with an evil spirit interrupted him. And Jesus then demonstrated the authority of his teaching with his power over the spirits. So let's look at what happened. We're not sure if the people knew this man that burst into the synagogue, somewhat disrupting their service. Mark tells us that this was perhaps a man within their community, within their synagogue even. Perhaps a respected layperson, a productive member of society. The synagogue leaders would not permit any other kind. A second thing to notice is that this man's affliction is only identified as an evil spirit. The demon is not tied to any sickness. What then was this demon doing to this man? We can't be sure, but I would suggest that the demon's influence in this case was of a moral nature. I don't know what issue this man had, but it was tearing him up. What do you think it was? Well, you pick one. A demon of hate, revenge, lust for power, uncontrolled greed, ambition, fear, guilt, envy, jealousy, deceit, slander, revenge, gossip. Which one? These demons are all around us and uncontrolled, and they destroy life. The third thing to notice is that this man had given authority to the demon. He was possessed. The demon had gained control and he had lost control. 1 Peter 5:8 reminds us that the chief demon himself, Satan, is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There are authorities and teaching in this world that you can use to try and overpower these demons. We can turn to education, sociology, history, philosophy, psychology, religion. All these have a certain kind of power, but not the power of Jesus. Other teachings have authority, but not the authority of Jesus' new teaching. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? The demon is not even addressed. He acknowledges that one with a greater authority has arrived. Be quiet, Jesus speaks sternly. Come out of him. And the evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. And the people were amazed. Something new, something astonishing had just happened. The authority of God was occurring before their eyes, like watching Moses part the Red Sea or watching the walls of Jericho fall. The power of God was present. What is this, they asked, a new teaching with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him. Education can make us intelligent. Sociology can give us cultural knowledge. History can give us world knowledge. Philosophy teaches us conceptual knowledge. Science teaches us natural laws. Psychology offers behavioral knowledge. Religion imparts divine knowledge. But in the end, all of these have no authority to control the moral demons that plague mankind's soul. We need something more, a new teaching, someone with authority. Here's what I have learned. The intellectual disciplines can offer us self-knowledge. They can help us to see ourselves more clearly and are incredibly important for that reason. But the more clearly we see ourselves, the more we realize our need for salvation. For some authority outside ourselves, some power that can deliver us. We don't simply need healing, we need to be saved, delivered from the demons seeking to destroy us. The Swiss psychiatrist Paul Tournier said it this way: "It is not healing alone that man stands in need of, but salvation, of the assurance that the world and mankind have been redeemed." I believe Jesus brings that new kind of teaching, a new authority into this world to save, to make us whole, to overcome the demons that are bent on our destruction. "What is this?" the people asked with amazement. "A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. Amen.
Will you please stand as able?